All right, good morning. Today we're looking at Revelation chapter 18. After this, I saw another angel coming down from heaven. He had great authority, and the earth was illuminated by his splendor. With a mighty voice he shouted, "Fallen, fallen is Babylon the Great. She has become a home for demons and a haunt for every evil spirit, a haunt for every unclean and detestable bird, for all the nations have drunk the maddening wine of her adulteries. The kings of the earth committed adultery with her, and the merchants of the earth grew rich from her excessive luxuries." Then I heard another voice from heaven say, "Come out of her, my people, so that you will not share in her sins, so that you will not receive any of her plagues, for her sins are piled up to heaven, and God has remembered her crimes. Give back to her as she has given, pay her back double for what she has done. Mix her a double portion from her own cup. Give her as much torture and grief as the glory and luxury she gave herself. In her heart she boasts, 'I sit as a queen, I am not a widow, and I will never mourn.' Therefore in one day her plagues will overtake her, death, mourning, and famine. She will be consumed by fire, for mighty is the Lord God who judges her." When the kings of the earth who committed adultery with her and shared her luxury see the smoke of her burning, they will weep and mourn over her. Terrified at her torment, they will stand far off and cry, "Woe, woe, O great city, O Babylon, city of power, in one hour your doom has come." The merchants of the earth will weep and mourn over her because no one buys their cargoes anymore, cargoes of gold, silver, precious stones and pearls, fine linen, purple, silk, and scarlet cloth, every sort of citron wood, and articles of every kind of ivory, costly wood, bronze, iron, and marble, cargoes of cinnamon and spice, of incense, myrrh, and frankincense, of wine and olive oil, of fine flour and wheat, cattle and sheep, horses and carriage, and bodies and souls of men. They will never say, "The fruit you longed for is gone from you. All your riches and splendor have vanished." Or they will say, "The fruit you longed for is gone from you. All your riches and splendor have vanished, never to be recovered." The merchants who sold these things and gained their wealth from her will stand far off, terrified at her torment. They will weep and mourn and cry out, "Woe, oh, great city, dressed in fine linen, purple and scarlet, and glittering with gold, precious stones and pearls. In one hour, such great wealth has been brought to ruin." Every sea captain and all who travel by ship, the sailors and all who earn their living from the sea will stand far off. When they see the smoke of her burning, they will exclaim, "Was there ever a city like this great city?" They will throw dust on their heads, and with weeping and mourning they will cry out, "Woe, woe, O great city, where all who had ships on the sea became rich through her wealth. In one hour she has been brought to ruin. Rejoice over her, O heaven. Rejoice, saints and apostles and prophets, God has judged her for the way she treated you." Then a mighty angel picked up a boulder the size of a large millstone and threw it into the sea, and said, "With such violence the great city of Babylon will be thrown down, never to be found again." The music of harpists and musicians, flute players and trumpeters will never be heard in you again. No workman of any trade will ever be found in you again. The sound of a millstone will never be heard in you again. The light of a lamp will never shine in you again. The voice of bridegroom and bride will never be heard in you again. Your merchants were the world's great men, but by your magic spell all nations were led astray. In her was found the blood of the prophets and the saints, and of all who have been killed on the earth. This is the word of our God. We'll switch over to our keynote presentation for today, the fall of Babylon. This is pretty intense, but as you notice, the vision itself isn't extremely detailed. It's basically one picture and the reaction, but it is still very intense. Although it does seem a little bit like a digression. So the purpose of this, the purpose of this chapter, chapter 18, is especially to heighten the emotional impact of the fall of Babylon. That this is a big event. This is something that is intense. And much of the imagery here is based on the fall of Tyre from Ezekiel 26 and 27 and some other judgment passages of the Old Testament. Check out Ezekiel 26 and 27 for a little bit of a parallel. And the impact is emphasized with that double fallen, fallen. And later on we have woe, woe. That statement of, wow, this is something that is intense and very meaningful. In Revelation 18, verse 4, God says to come out of the apostate church and not to share in her sins. So that question, should we try to persuade people to leave the Roman Catholic Church? Is that sheep stealing? And to a lesser degree, even though there are other churches and church bodies that are not the big A Antichrist, they are certainly Antichrists and anti-Christian in their doctrine and their teaching, where they direct people's attention away from the Word of God, and where they direct people's attention to their own works and their own opinions and ideas rather than the Word of God. Should we seek out Christians in other churches like that? What do you think? Well, can you steal sheep from a rustler, or are you recovering them from the thief? Same idea. Just because a church has all the trappings of church, just because a congregation or a church body uses all of these churchy words and churchy names, does not mean one thing, really. What really matters is, what is their doctrine? What are they teaching? Are they pointing people to Jesus or not? Are they faithfully serving the people or not? And this is what God wants. God wants his people to know the truth and to be served with the truth faithfully, regularly, and often. And if they aren't being served with the truth of God's word, well, it is our Christian duty, yeah, to say, dear friend, watch out. Come out from there. Verses 9 through 19 of this chapter is this lament for Babylon. And the picture on the screen here is one of intense sorrow, as you know, Babylon the Great is falling down in fire. Yeah, it's pretty intense. Lament. According to this section, what is the world's relationship to the apostate church? Well, the world is enriched by business with the church when the church lives in luxury. And that, you know, in a very basic sense, you tour Vatican City, or you see the pictures and you see all the gold and scarlet and purple and all the glittering and all the buildings and all the gigantic cathedrals. You see all the physical material that is used there. But it's even more broad than that. When the church lives in luxury, and when the church, the apostate church, uses its power, then you see this more in the Middle Ages, not so much in the present day, although things may change. But when the apostate church has a lot of power and influence, then the money follows. And you know, there would be cases of, you know, perhaps bribery. Maybe you need to get permission from the Pope or pay a local tax to the Pope in order to carry out business in a certain area. Maybe it's just the peddling of influence or being the favored merchant or something like that. Some examples, we've touched on that a little bit. Mostly this was more so in the Middle Ages, and especially the alliances or the agreements and contracts that the Roman Catholic Church would engage in with the local merchants there throughout Italy, and then also throughout the rest of Europe to a lesser extent. You might also think of the great cathedrals, the art and music, the vestments, the jewels, and the pomp. That these things in and of themselves are not bad. Excuse me. But when they are directed away from Jesus, then these things matter more than pointing to Jesus. then that's an issue. Yeah, and the merchants who brought these things there, they did profit highly over these things. And that gold, silver, and scarlet and marble building doesn't bring you any closer to Jesus. The Word of God does. And how sad it would be if somebody sees that and forgets about Jesus or isn't pointed to Jesus in the process. A couple of other examples. Arrayed in purple and scarlet, adorned with gold and silver and jewels and pearls that we had last time. And then finally, the Song of Victory, beginning in chapter 18, verse 20. And this is going to continue into chapter 19. What do you think? Doesn't this section conflict with what God says in Ezekiel 33, verse 11, that he does not take pleasure in the death of the wicked? Because here at the end of chapter 18, it looks like the world is rejoicing that the fallen Babylon is getting their punishment and, you know, crush them, Lord, carry out your judgment on them. What do you say? Is that a proper thing for a Christian to pray? Well, it's true that God does not take pleasure in the death of the wicked. That's why he sent Jesus to die on the cross. But if we reject this free gift of salvation, the God of justice must punish us for our sin. And Babylon, on top of that, points people away from the free gift of freely distributed forgiveness through Jesus Christ. And so they are culpable in that as well. Why is the judgment on Babylon just? Well, she has persecuted God's people. She is receiving the treatment she gave to God's people. You think of Martin Luther and the Lutherans being excommunicated, and the way that current Roman Catholic doctrine is written, Pope John Paul II had one of the more clear decrees on this, that there are Muslims, there are people of other faiths who worship a different God who will be saved and going to heaven because they're doing the best that they can with what they know. And so the official doctrine openly denies Jesus as the only way to heaven and just says that these people of other faiths are doing the best that they can with what they have, and God surely won't hold that against them. While at the same time, the Lutheran Church, which, you know, follows the doctrine of the Book of Concord, the Lutheran Church, which is the actual, you know, that holds the Word of God. We're not talking about the ELCA here. But the Lutheran Church is still officially excommunicated, and all followers of Martin Luther are still officially excommunicated according to the Roman Catholic Church. And so according to their official statements, they would say that there are people who know nothing of the Bible and who live in open denial of the Bible and the God of the Bible who are going to be in heaven. And those who do hold to Scripture and salvation by grace distributed through faith, distributed through the means of grace and received by faith, basically you and I are condemned according to the official statement and the official position of the Roman Catholic Church. That might not be your experience in the local parish. That might not even be your experience or the impression you get from the local, you know, Roman Catholic friend. But that is still the official teaching of the Roman Catholic Church, that if you hold to the truth that your sin is freely forgiven for the sake of Jesus Christ, then you are anathema. Let him be eternally condemned. And if you follow the teaching of Martin Luther, okay, that's like the teaching of the Bible, then you are excommunicated and the door to heaven is shut to you. And that's And that's something that, you know, at least a little bit of awareness of would be helpful in this entire understanding of the judgment on Babylon. She's receiving the treatment she gave to God's people. Her sins were paid for, but she would have none of it. Our other video today, we're starting a video study on the book of Galatians from Pastor Jared Natsis. He's down in Tennessee somewhere, I think. And this would be, that would be a good follow-up and a good companion study to what we're looking at right now. Because the message of Galatians is that you need Jesus and that's it. And you can't add anything to the message of Jesus. And finally, God is both just and one who justifies. That you have been justified in Jesus Christ, but God is still just. And those who deny Jesus, those who turn their back on the forgiveness he has given, put themselves under God's justice. So finishing this one, so next time we'll get into Revelation chapter 19 and the song of victory there, and we see the ongoing truth that Jesus wins. Thanks so much for joining us today. God bless your day.